Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yes, Aunt Jessie, that is encouraging. You know, it shows you that no matter how old you are, God is always working on our lives.
Amen.
He's always drawing us closer to Him. We just got to be willing to, you know, seek after Him and be willing to let Him change our lives, man. It shows you just how you can continue to grow in the Lord. Today, my message is, you are blessed. You are blessed, and you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to read Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12 in the King James Version. And then I'm going to sort of go verse by verse in the Amplified and then bring out different other scripture. So this is, of course, Jesus giving the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 1, says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and do this and amplify it, and then do some other scripture that, you know, sort of just, you know, what he brings out, you know, kind of expounds on it. So Matthew 5:1 in the Amplified says, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, Blessed, spiritually prosperous, happy, to be admired are the poor in spirit, those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever." And so you can write this down. This is Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And this is King James Version. Some of these are going to be amplified. Some of them will be New Living Translation. So I'll try to mention which ones. So Romans 12, 3 out of King James Version says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And so then after each one of these, I would write, "You are blessed when you spiritually put others before you." So verse 3 there was telling us that, you know, just like Robert Morris, or, you know, like when we went to the pastors' conference in New York City, you know, all those pastors, men of God, they weren't trying to exalt themselves. They were, you know, concerning themselves. You know, we're all equal. We're all given that same measure of faith. So it's like when you walk into a room with other people who are believers and stuff, you shouldn't consider yourself, well, I'm more highly than you. You know, maybe I've been a Christian for many, many years and you just saw a new believer. You may be more spiritually mature, but that doesn't mean you should be arrogant about it and just be like, why, you know, I know more than you about the Bible. I know what's right, what's wrong. You know, we're all on equal ground. We all have the same measure of faith. Okay, so now Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 in the Amplified says, "Blessed, forgiven, refreshed by God's grace are those who mourn over their sins and repent, for they will be comforted when the burden of sin is lifted." And so this one I'm going to read from Jonah chapter 2, the whole chapter, and I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. So it says, Jonah chapter 2, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. So after this one I wrote, you are blessed because you have been comforted in your repentance of sin. And I know that's always true. When you repent of your sins, you know, the devil wants to come and he always wants to bring up the past, you know, what we've repented for. Yet there's the comfort of God knowing that, nope, devil, you can't bring that up. I've already repented of it. God's forgiven me of it. God doesn't even remember of it. So there's that comfort there in that you have repented of your sins. So now Matthew chapter 5, verse 5 in Amplified says, blessed, inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, worthy of respect are the gentle, the kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, the self-controlled, for they will inherit the earth. And so for reference here, I have Psalms chapter 37, verses 7 through 11. And this is going to be King James Version. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yes, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And so this one I put down, you are blessed, because you have this meekness, this inner peace that the world does not, no matter what is going on. And so that is so true in today's world. You know, you can see the evil abounding out there. But when you have Jesus Christ on you, you have this inner peace that you're not worried. It says, you know, you can be kind-hearted, sweet-spirited, self-controlled. They will inherit the earth, not the wicked. You know, the wicked may look like, oh, well, they're prosperous for a little bit, but it only lasts temporarily because, you know, they don't inherit. They don't make it to heaven if they do not repent. But those of us who do, man, not only can we live peacefully on here on earth, but, man, the peace that we're going to have in eternity just surpasses any peace that the world can offer us. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 of the Amplified says, blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who actively seek right standing with God, for they will be completely satisfied. And so a reference here that I have is Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, and this is King James Version. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, weep in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So I wrote, you are blessed when you are seeking after God and his righteousness. And it says, because that verse says, and he will rain righteousness upon you. You know, yesterday it was pouring down rain at times, and it's like, can you imagine when God's just pouring his righteousness on you when you're seeking after him? You know, that goes back to, like, that's how you can grow. You know, you grow in the Lord because you're seeking after him. You know, you want more of him. You're not satisfied with who you are. And so when you're seeking after him and his righteousness, he just fills you up, you know. Sometimes it may seem like you may go a long period of time stuck, you know. But then all of a sudden, bam, the rain comes and you just, and God just uplifts you majorly. So, okay, so Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, in the Amplified says, "Blessed, content, sheltered by God's promises are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." And then a reference here, James chapter 2, verse 13. James chapter 2, verse 13. This is from the Amplified. It says, "For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. But to the one who has shown mercy, mercy triumphs victoriously over judgment." So I wrote down, you are blessed by God's mercy when you show the mercy of God instead of judgment. And you know, it can be so easy to want to judge people, you know, when you hear what they're doing or hear about them, instead of showing mercy. Especially, you know, the devil wants to get us to get even with each other, you know, when, you know, we don't want to do that. We want to show mercy to each other and extend mercy. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 of the Amplified says, "Blessed, anticipating God's presence, spiritually mature, are the pure in heart, those with integrity, moral courage, and godly character, for they will see God." This one, I have two references. The first one here is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. And this is Amplified. It says, "Since by your obedience to the truth, you have purified yourselves for a sincere love of the believers, see that you love one another from the heart, always unselfishly seeking the best for one another." And then another reference is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. And this is Amplified. It says, "Run away from youthful lust. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those believers who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So I wrote down, you are blessed to see God in other believers when you are seeking Him from a pure heart. He will clearly make Himself known to you through others. And you know, this goes back to like when you Christians are gathered together, it's like Jesus is there in the midst communicating with Himself. So that's when in verse 5 it says, "Those who are pure in heart, for they will see God." Because when you'll, that's like the way God sees people. You know, He sees people through Jesus. So He sees people through a pure heart. So that's the way we got to see each other. You know, this pure heart we have, you know, we don't look at all the problems other people have, you know, we look at them the way Jesus does. And that's the way you can look at sinners too. You know, you just got to see them the way God sees them. Don't look at them as condemned. And you know, you got to look at them the way Jesus would look at them, the way God would see them through Jesus. All right. So now Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, out of the Amplified says, "Blessed, spiritually calm with life, joy, and God's favor, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they will express His character and be called the sons of God." So the reference here I have is James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And this I'm reading out of the New Living Translation says, "If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." So I wrote, you are blessed with the peace of God when you go about sowing His peace. So that's your basic principle of the reaper and the sower. If you're going about sowing peace, you know, rather than trying to strife and somebody's angry at you, if you're trying to be a peacemaker, well, you're going to reap that back, you know. Because have you ever seen somebody who goes around, they just seems like they're always angry, they can always get in arguments with people? You know, they have no peace. But those of us who, even if somebody comes at us angry, when you want to, instead of trying to revile back and you want to sow peace into their lives, you can calm them down. And then what's going to happen is they're going to be peaceful towards you because you're going to weep what you're sowing. So it's important to sow peace. Okay, so Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, out of the Amplified says, "Blessed, comforted by inner peace and God's love, are those who are persecuted for doing that which is morally right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever." So a reference that I have here is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And this is New Living Translation, says, "But you, Timothy, certainly know that I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance." And of course, this is Paul talking. "You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Paul doesn't say maybe suffer persecution, he says will. So I wrote down, "You are blessed to be persecuted for living in Christ Jesus." You know, that's just like when God says he uses the foolish things to confound the wise, you know. That doesn't seem like you'd be blessed to be persecuted, but it is, because you know you're living right. You know you're living in Jesus Christ. If Jesus was persecuted, Paul was persecuted, all the disciples were persecuted, if all the men and women of the Bible were persecuted, then we know we can be expected to be persecuted, and we should consider it joy. You know, I want to be persecuted just like they were. You know, it's a blessing. I mean, it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but there can be joy and hope in it. Okay, the last two here, Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, out of the Amplified, says, "Blessed, morally courageous, and spiritually alive with life, joy, and God's goodness are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of your association with me," which is Jesus. "Be glad and exceedingly joyful, for your reward in heaven is great, absolutely inexhaustible. For in this same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And so my reference here for this one is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. And that this is the Amplified, says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test you. That is, to test the quality of your faith, as though something strange or unusual were happening to you. But insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, keep on rejoicing, so that when his glory, filled with his radiance and splendor, is revealed, you may rejoice with great joy. If you are insulted and reviled for bearing the name of Christ, you are blessed, happy, with life, joy, and comfort in God's salvation, regardless of your circumstances, because the Spirit of glory and of God is resting on you and enduring you. He whom they curse, you glorify." I really love that what the Amplified says. It says, "They whom they curse, or he whom they curse, you glorify." And so I wrote, "You are blessed because you are on equal ground with Christ Jesus when you are persecuted for his name's sake." So it's just amazing that, you know, when you are persecuted for God, for bearing his name's sake, and we're seeing that more and more. I mean, you know, here in America, we're still not seeing the level of persecution that other places are, but you can see it getting more and more. You know, they've been trying to do away with everything godly, you know. And so you can see people, Christians in the news, when they're standing up for God, you know, you see the people attacking them, you know, reviling them, and yet they're standing there and they're happy because they're right there with Jesus. Jesus is right there with them. So when you're persecuted, you know Jesus is right there with you. They're persecuting you because you bear the name of Christ, because you glorify the name of Christ, and they don't. So this is amazing, that these first verses of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, you know, being blessed is so much more than just physical, material, money. You know, it's so much spiritually blessed that we are. And this is Jesus telling us we're blessed. So it's like, man, if Jesus is telling us we're blessed, and if we're going through all this and what we've got on the Spirit, we are really blessed people, you know. That's why no matter what it looks like, no matter what's going on, man, we can be blessed. It's I heard the other day, you know, I think it was Richard Wurmbrand that had quoted something about being in communist China. You know, the communists were happy to beat the Christians in prison, and the Christians in prison were happy to let them beat them because of for Jesus' sake. And it's like, man, you got it. When we can come to that place where no matter how we're persecuted, we can be happy in Jesus. Nobody can touch it. You know, nobody can take away what you got on the inside. That's spiritual. Nobody can come between you and God. That's, you know, no, you can't. Don't let people come in between you and God. You know, we all go through trials and tribulations and stuff, but always go to God. Just never let anything come between you and God, man. So anyways, that is all I have for you today, is just know that you are blessed.
Amen. That was really good. I really feel like we need to pray before I get started, so we're going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, you know what is going on in our world right now. You know what's going on in our hearts, in our bodies. God, we just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we command peace to be still, in Jesus' name. Every person in here whose bodies are hurting and in pain, everyone who is sick in body, in Jesus' name, we declare that we are healed by Jesus' stripes from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. In Jesus' name, every ache and pain, even mental and emotional pain, we declare we are healed all the way down to the deepest parts of our souls. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Someone needed that, so just pray and agree. Amen. All right, thank you, Lord. I'm going to continue on Battling the Darkness series. Thank you, everybody, for praying for me last week. I was not up to par last week, so I'm doing pretty good this week. So this week is Sermon 7 called Battling Together, Staying United Against the Enemy. So we've been going through, you know, the whole entire series of knowing who you are in Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit, standing on His Word, discerning what the enemy is doing against you. But now today we're going to talk about being together, amen, standing together, praying for each other, being united in faith. It says in His Word that if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Those are big numbers. That is, if in the math world, it's to the power of 10. So that multiplication is just amazing when you're in agreement in the body of Christ. Amen? So we're going to start off with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm actually going to read this out of the New Living Translation. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 7 and then I'm going to skip down to verse 12. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. That's verse 7. And then down to verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? And I'm going to pause before I go on with that. You know, a lot of times what the devil does in the body of Christ is he will put this lie into you that just because you're not this important person, you're not this and you're not doing that and you're not achieving that and you're not doing that much, well, then you must not be that important and you don't belong and you might as well just leave the body. But that's not the truth. You do belong. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you are filled with God, you belong in his body. You can't ever let the devil take you away from that. Amen? Okay, keep going. Verse 18. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Amen? So each of us is right where God wants us to be. Amen? How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. So see, we can't say to each other, just like we can't listen to the devil to say we don't belong, we can't speak to each other and say you don't belong. Amen? It goes both ways. And then keep going. It says, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Amen. So I wanted to start with that at the beginning, because in every battle that we face, we have to remember that there is a part that we are supposed to be in, especially in the entire body of Christ. We are supposed to be positioned where God wants us to be. And sometimes it can feel like, well, God, where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? You know, where do I fit in, or what am I supposed to be doing in the ministry, or helping out the church, or even in my own family? What am I supposed to do? You know, sometimes we have these questions, and that's where we have to listen to the Lord, seek his face, listen to the Holy Spirit. He will show you. If you want to know, he will speak to you right where you're supposed to be. Amen. If you're supposed to be an eye or a hand or an arm or a leg or a foot, you'll know. Amen? You'll know right where you're supposed to be. And I like in the King James, it says, you know, some have the gift of helps. And if anybody remembers Miss Chris, she, like Aunt Jessie was, I heard her talking about Miss Chris earlier. You know, she for a while didn't feel like she belonged to anything particular. And then one day she read that the gift of helps was a gift, that it was supposed, like she was doing what God wanted her to do. And so sometimes you may feel like, well, I'm not, you know, am I really doing what God's supposed to, wants me to do? Start reading his word and finding out. Finding out, is that what God wants me to do? And he will show you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, turn to Psalm 133. Many of you already know this verse. It's been written in many songs. It's one of my favorites. Psalm 133, I'm going to start at verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And so what I want to point out about this is in that unity of the brethren, it says the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. You know, we need to be spiritually unified in the body of Christ. You know, the one thing that the devil does is he sows discord among the brethren, because what he wants to do is he wants us to be unified in the wrong way. He wants us to be unified in thinking wrong about each other. He wants us to be unified in hating each other. He wants us to think, well, if I can get these two in agreement against someone else, then I can destroy that person's life. But God wants us to be in agreement as a whole, in love and in grace, so that his blessing will come upon us. Amen. He wants to bless us. He wants us to be able to go out into the battlefield arm in arm. And I think I've given this illustration before, but you know, the Romans, when they would fight a battle and they would have all of the arrows coming at them, they would put all of their shields not only right in front of each other, but up above their heads, to the sides and in the back. And so they would walk as one unit. And so whenever the devil would send, or you know, the enemy would send arrows to hurt and destroy them, they would be like a little mini tank that would just roll around, you know, just because they had to get straight up to the enemy's quarters. You know, they had to get straight up to take out that person who was doing that arrow toward them. So that's what we have to do with the enemy, is when he's attacking us as a body, you know, he'll throw arrows at us. That's when we even more have to be united and together. You know, it doesn't mean like we're all different. You know, we all have different personalities. We all come from different societal backgrounds. You know, we all, like, some of us are loud and some are quiet. I mean, you can just look at Michael and I and know how different. Although Mandy says you talk a lot, so. But, you know, like, each one of us are different. And that's what makes us so powerful as a body of believers. God does not want all of his people to be the exact same personality. If he did, he would have just made robots. And he already has angels, you know, who do what he has. They have to obey God, or they just immediately face execution. I mean, there's no mercy for angels, but there's mercy for us, because God wanted us to choose to follow him. Amen. He wanted that relationship. Amen. Okay, let's go on. Ecclesiastes 4. I'm going to start at verse 9. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one. See, it's written in the Bible. Okay, remember that? Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And so, see, when we're battling the enemy, sometimes we are going to fall. There's not like any part in the Bible where it says you're never going to make a mistake. As soon as you get saved, you're good for the rest of your life. You're never going to mess up again. You are going to fall at some point. And that's where you need someone in your life in the body of Christ who will be there to help pick you up. Amen. You need these people in your life. We need each other. Amen. And then it goes on to say again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I love this verse because the threefold cord is one of my favorite things in the Bible. Because God gave me a revelation of this a long time ago for Michael and I. So a threefold cord is like a braided cord, you know, and a braided cord is really strong. You know, like if you have a twisted cord, sometimes it can come undone, but a threefold cord is really hard to get undone. You have to specifically unwind it. Well, what God had showed me was when Michael and I came together, we were two and we became one, but we also had Jesus tied in the middle of us. And that threefold cord is what keeps us two together because we have Jesus in the middle. And if you take out Jesus out of our lives, we're just not as strong. But when we have Jesus, our strength comes from him and keeps us together. And so I tell that to many new couples, especially ones who just get married. You know, I tell them, you keep Jesus in the middle. Keep him that third cord, because that third cord will keep you two together forever. Amen. And that's what's most important. Amen. And that's the same with the body of Christ. You know, we are his body. He is what keeps us together. Amen. We can't keep each other together. How many times have we really messed things up? You know, we do that because we're human beings. But Jesus, he keeps us together and he holds us together and he heals and he strengthens and he rewards and he blesses. Amen. All right, let's go on. First Peter chapter 5. I have a lot of scriptures, so bear with me. Thank you, Lord. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And what that means to me is we are all going through the same things. You know, whether, you know, a lot of times we don't realize we're going through the same things, you know, because sometimes we just don't talk to each other enough. But if you open up your heart and you have conversations with those in the body of Christ, I guarantee you, what they're going through is what you're going through. What they're facing is what you're facing. What they're dealing with in their families is what you're dealing with in your family. You know, we're all going through the same afflictions. We're all going through hard times that we need to understand each other. We need to relate to each other. Amen? And especially because the devil, he just wants to destroy us. You know, he's just waiting for a weak person on the battlefront to take out. But if we're united together, even if someone falls, we pick them up and we help them fight this fight. You know, so, and sometimes I will tell you this, if you're picking someone up, sometimes that means you have to stop fighting to pick that person up. Or sometimes you need someone else to be fighting in front of you while you're picking that person up. So every battle can be hard. And when you're facing it with other people, you may be feeling their infirmity. You may be seeing what they're going through. You know, I've heard this expression, you know, sometimes you go to the gates of hell and you feel like you're being burned while you're pulling other people out. That is very common. It's rough in the battle, especially when you're fighting for other people. Amen. But stand strong. Amen. Okay, so you can just write down 1 Corinthians 1:10. It talks about, Paul says, we need to be in unity with all followers of Jesus. Be in unity. Amen. Just because we don't agree, I mean, any of us, you know, you can go to any denomination. I think it's amazing, out of all of the religions in the world, that Christianity has so many denominations. I mean, it's like, that's how varied people are in their personalities, in their beliefs, in their interpretations. Some can read the Bible and see it one way, and even though God is showing people the same revelation, you know, it's easy for people to get offended about what they believe, you know, and that's why we ended up with so many different denominations. But we don't need to look at that part of it. We need to be unified in Jesus Christ. Who do we follow? Jesus. Yes. We need to be unified together as followers of Christ. Amen? Let's not look for the divisive, the contrary words that the devil's going to try to throw in between us. When we go out into the streets and we talk to other Christians, let's not look for those arguments, because those arguments are just a waste of time. Amen. But when you go after the heart of the matter, when you find out what is that person really going through, you know, do they need prayer? What are they suffering with? We're all going through the same afflictions. You know, let's be unified as the followers of Christ. Amen. And then Acts 2:1, you just write this down. It says they were all with one accord in one place. And you know, out of those 120 believers, I guarantee you, all of them were different. There were men and women, and they probably all thought different, and they had different characteristics and different backgrounds, especially the 12 disciples. I mean, just looking at that is enough to know they were all different. But they were all in one accord because Jesus gave them a command to tarry and to wait for the Spirit. Jesus gave that command, and they were in one accord with one obedient command. They were just in one accord, and that's what we need to be. Amen. And then Amos 3:3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? The only way that we can walk together in harmony and in unity is if we are in agreement. Amen. And then 2 Corinthians 13:1, it says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. 1 Peter 3:8 says, be ye all of one mind. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2:16 sums it all up together. We have the mind of Christ. And I want you to turn to Matthew 18. This is really powerful, and a lot of times we'll pray this together and we'll say this together, but you need to know that this is really Jesus commanding us to be this way. Amen. He's commanding us. So Matthew 18:18. It says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. Yes. So I want to point that out, but I also want to refer back to, we are all of one mind. And this mind, the mind of Christ, is not our flesh mind. Amen. in our flesh minds, no, we can't all agree on everything. You know, that's just how it is. But in our spiritual minds, we have the mind of Christ. And if we can agree with what Jesus is saying in his word, if we can stand on the fact that we have the mind of Christ, then that's what brings us into unity. That's what brings us into agreement. It's his word and his will. Amen. It's nothing that we can do to, you know, like in the body of Christ, we don't unite together just because of one person or because of a group of people of what they're leading. You know, it's nothing like that. We are united by the Spirit. Amen. So it doesn't matter like how important a person is or not important. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you are united in Christ. Amen. And then I want to go on to James chapter 4. I just have a little bit more and then I'm closing out. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. James chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 1. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And what this is saying is, all of this is in our flesh. Amen. We don't want to walk in this because this is our flesh. We need to walk in the Spirit. Verse 3, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think that the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the Spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. That's pretty strong, isn't it? I'm going to read that one again. Your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. Speaking from experience, God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? And this is really strong because, you know, naturally in our flesh, we just naturally criticize each other. We naturally, you know, it's like, we can't always see what we're doing, but it's easy to judge other people, you know. And one example of living in the flesh that'll help you see it better is in a marriage. You know, when you're living in the flesh in a marriage and you're selfish and you're only concerned about yourself, that other person is not going to be happy with you. They're not going to be happy, you know, because it takes sacrifice in marriage. It takes you giving up of yourself to be united and loved with that other person. It is not easy. You know, you have to give up your flesh to be united with that person spiritually. Amen. It's not easy. But then another thing is like, you know, if anybody's had a newborn baby, you know how demanding a newborn baby is? Every mom is like, I don't have any sleep. You know, it's like, I can't sleep. That's the first thing you hear. And the dads too, you know. But when that baby is hungry and thirsty or has a dirty diaper, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what you feel like at all. Your feelings don't matter at that point. You have to get take care of that baby, you know. So it's like, you know, that flesh may want to do other things, but you know that you have to take care of that baby. Amen. And that's kind of where it is in the body of Christ. You know, in our flesh, sometimes we may want to think a certain way. We may want to behave a certain way. And we may not agree in a certain way. But that's not really important. We need to look at each other spiritually. You know, like Michael just said, we have to see each other through the eyes of Jesus, just like God sees us. You know, and that is not easy. It takes work. And you need to do that by faith. Amen. Like Michael just said, we have each have a measure of faith. You know, sometimes we have to see each other by faith. You know, we have to love each other by faith. And that's what God has put in us. And we can do that through our spirit, through our resurrected spirit, through the Holy Spirit. It's not easy to love people on our own. You know, especially when we may not see things, you know, like in denominations. You can see things through different, you know, the Baptists believe one way and the Catholics believe another way. And it's just like, you could easily get stuck on that and not agree about Jesus Christ. But if you come back to the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, who is our firm foundation, if you come back to that in any conversation, then that takes away that disagreement. And any Christian that you meet takes away that disagreement, because it's Jesus Christ that we're one in the body. It's his body. Amen. We are in his body together, fitly joined together. Amen. Okay, I just have one more thing. Romans chapter 5, and then I'm going to close here. I'm going to start at verse 5. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." So, you know, this is like the Holy Spirit in each one of us. You know, it's not easy to love each other, but he gives us that love that we need. You know, God is the one who puts in us that perfect love that casts out fear, that perfect love that covers a multitude of sins. So if you're having trouble or a hard time loving each other in any way, just ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need your help with this. I need your love to come in and fill me up and overwhelm me, so that I can love people as you love people. I need your help. Just say yes to Jesus. Amen. We need that in our lives. Amen. Okay, we can go ahead and close. You can stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you can't stand, just close your eyes. It's okay. I just want you to speak this out loud to yourself. Okay, close your eyes and just focus on Jesus and just say, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus is my Savior. I believe in you, Jesus. You love me. Jesus, you love me. Let your love be shed abroad in my heart. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your love, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you, Lord, for your love, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence. It says in your word that if two or more agree as touching anything, it is done. And if two or three are gathered together in your name, that you are right here in the midst. So Jesus, right now, we release everything in our lives that is not of you, God. Any sin, any shortcoming, we ask that you would forgive us, God. We ask that you would change us from the inside out. And we ask that you would fill us up with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, fill us up, God. Fill us up. Push out anything in us that is not of you, anything that shouldn't be there. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are our healer. We thank you that you are our strength. It says in your word that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So fill us up with your joy. Fill us up with your peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Help us, God, to love ourselves so that we can love others, knowing that you love us. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.